Last week, I began sharing with you an event in my spiritual journey, really Melanie and my journey together as we got married and were making the Lord the central part of our home and invited into a small group Bible study and just really enjoying and growing and putting ourselves in a position of growth and development in the Lord. And during that time, we had some special meetings in our church, the church we were in at that time, and the pastor that was invited in to speak, which, by the way, I'd mentioned towards the end of that service and wanting to give credit where credit is due, and that is that the gentleman, the deacon of the church that we were in who invited that pastor in was Steve Green's dad, Wallace Green, Stacy Loneman's grandfather, Wallace Green. And my dad was also part of that board that invited this pastor to come in, and he began speaking on the baptism or the filling of the Holy Spirit. And up to that point, as I shared last week, the Spirit of God was, I knew, was part of the Trinity, but what his purpose was, what his place was, I really hadn't received teaching or understanding about that. So this was something that was very new and very helpful for me regarding being baptized or being filled with the Holy Spirit. And through that, I was discovering God's power enabling us as followers of Jesus to live our lives as a witness for Him. In fact, when Jesus said to His disciples, He said, "Wait until you receive power from on high." He said, "Not many days from now, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit, and you will receive power to be my witnesses." And so that was just a new revelation for me. And I was, as I shared with you before, I was just sitting on the edge of my seat waiting for that pastor to give an invitation because I knew this is something that I had not yet experienced. I'd been born again. I received that when I was 11 years old. I'd received salvation. So I knew I was a Christian. I knew I was bound for heaven. But here was something that I needed to respond to, something that the Lord was offering that I just hadn't known about before. And remember me sharing with you how Jesus said to his disciples that it was to their advantage that he would go away and send the Holy Spirit. We see this in John 16:7 when he said, "I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I do go, I will send him to you." So we saw Jesus ascended then, and the Holy Spirit was poured out on the day of Pentecost. And regarding him as being the Helper, that has helped me to identify this series of messages as living with God's help or personalizing it because his help was in the form of a being, the Holy Spirit. So personally being the helper, living with God's helper. And today I want to begin sharing some of the immediate and the ongoing changes that happened as a result of that event that took place. And realizing too that for those of you who have embraced this or will embrace this gift of God, as it's described, it was for not only for the disciples or for the people who heard that message from Peter on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, but he said it's for you, it's for your children, it's for all the Gentiles, it's for any who God calls to himself, that gift of the Holy Spirit. And so as I start sharing about these immediate and ongoing changes that changed, really set the course again for my life, I want you to realize that these experiences are things that you can experience too, and I will show you that biblically how God intends for these things to be a part of your experience in your relationship with Him as well. So today we're going to talk about these signs. In the words of Jesus, He used the words "these signs" or "these miraculous signs." We'll get to His words in just a bit, but I want to begin by talking about the purpose of signs. What is the purpose of signs? And I'll encourage you to turn with me to Acts chapter 2. We're going to be spending quite a bit of time in the book of Acts, so if you want to turn there with me, we'll be going through some vital scriptures here to see the experience of those who were receiving this gift of God that was promised by Jesus and that was given on the day of Pentecost. In Acts chapter 2, again, the first four verses describe them having received the Holy Spirit being poured out, and they began speaking with other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. And then what we see happening in verse 5 is we see that one of the purposes or of the signs that God gives with this gift of the Holy Spirit is to draw attention to the work of God. And we see this very obviously starting with verse 5. It says, "At that time, there were devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem. When they heard the loud noise, everyone came running, and they were bewildered to hear their own languages being spoken by the believers. They were completely amazed. "How can this be?" they exclaimed. "These people are all from Galilee, and yet we hear them speaking in our own native languages." So this sign from God that when they were baptized or filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking with other languages immediately drew attention to the work of God. So one of the purposes of these signs is to draw attention to the work of God. Now, when we're talking about drawing attention, another way we could describe that is giving glory to. And Jesus spoke of the work of the Spirit when he said in John 16:14, he said, "The Holy Spirit, he will glorify me, for he will take of mine and he will disclose it to you." So one of the purposes of the Spirit of God working in our lives is to bring glory to God or to draw attention to what God is doing. Now, for there to be attention drawn, first of all, there has to be a work that is done. So we're talking about drawing attention to the work of God. So we see a work being taken place. God is doing a work, and on this day, God was pouring out his Spirit, and the sign of that Spirit being poured out was that the disciples, the followers of Jesus, began speaking with other languages in a form that the people from Jerusalem that were gathered there could hear, and they came, drew attention to this work of God. Now then, turn with me if you would. No, you don't have to turn here because I put this one on the screen. Mark chapter 16 is where Jesus speaks of these signs. Mark chapter 16 and verses 15 through 18. "And then he told them, 'Go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. Anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved, but anyone who refuses to believe will be condemned. These miraculous signs will accompany those who believe.'" And then I'll just start listing out what Jesus lists them. He says, these miraculous signs. First, he says, they will cast out demons in my name. Now, for me to go into that would require a whole nother series where we're talking about the reality of the spiritual dimension and the reality of our authority in that spiritual dimension, the reality of wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, forces of darkness in the heavenlies. That's another whole series. But you can look through the book of Acts and see the followers of Jesus expressing these signs that with the authority that they had because of the shed blood in the name of Jesus, they were able to cast out evil spirits or cast out demons. And so that was one of the signs that Jesus said would be following those who believed. Another one was that, as it says there, and they will speak in new languages. Now, that's something that I'm going to be sharing more detail here today, so I'm just going to pass over that right now. And then he says, and they will be able to handle snakes with safety. Or with, yes, with safety. So, we're going to have a demonstration. Daryl, could you bring in that? My wife is objecting. Otherwise, we would have done it, but no. No, but see, here's the deal. You know, obviously, what this is not talking about handling snakes for the reason of, well, God's word says we can. We can do this safely, so we're going to handle snakes. That's not what it's talking about at all. And for you to do that, you know, claiming this passage of scripture, you know, picking up a poisonous snake, claiming the scripture, "Oh, I can do this, so I can do it with safety, you know, nothing's going to hurt me." You know, that's as stupid as Satan saying to Jesus, "Throw yourself off of the top of the temple, because you're not going to get hurt." I mean, God's word says, you know, his angels will keep you up. You won't even cast your foot against a stone. You won't get hurt, Jesus. If you're the Son of God, cast yourself off the temple. And how did Jesus reply? He replied what? "It is written, you shall not tempt God." And so it is with us. When we see these kinds of things that are inscribed in Scripture, we're not going to go out tempting God. Now, some people, I realize, you know, just, you know, Google snake handlers and you'll realize that there's religions that are all about that, and they're stupid. They're just flat out stupid. Okay? Can't put it any more blunt than that. However, if you're in a situation like the Apostle Paul, who the ship that he was on en route to Rome ended up being shipwrecked, they ended up on the island of Malta. He's doing his job by out picking up sticks to put on the fire to keep them warm. And as he puts those sticks on the fire, the heat of the fire, out from those sticks jumps a snake and latches onto his hand, and he just casts it off. Now immediately everyone's going, oh, he must be a bad criminal. This is God's justice. He is going to die this painful death of poisonous snake bite. But nothing happened to him. And all of a sudden their story changed. Oh, he must be God. This snake bit him and nothing happened to him. And see, here's the deal. This is what was going on. It was like he was bitten by a poisonous snake and it did not harm him. But you don't go out looking for snakes saying, I wonder if this will work. That God's word says it will work. And then here's the next thing. It says, and if they drink anything poisonous, it won't hurt them. Now, I don't know of any biblical example of that happening, but again, it's the same as snakes. Don't tempt God, okay? Don't go out drinking poison and say, God's word says. You know, you don't want to do that. So I'm just being brief on that, and I think you guys know better, so no problems there. But it also says they will be able to lay their hands on the sick, and they will be healed. And again, read through the New Testament, read through the book of Acts, read through and see how these signs, these miraculous signs, were following the disciples and the work that they did, the followers of Jesus, and it was bringing attention to the work of God. And it was also, we'll see another purpose of it as we continue on in Mark 16, verses 19 and 20, it says, when the Lord Jesus had finished talking with them, he was taken up into heaven and sat down in the place of honor at God's right hand. And the disciples went everywhere and preached, and the Lord worked through them, confirming what they said by many miraculous signs. So here is another purpose of these signs, or these miraculous signs that Jesus described. When they went forward and they expressed these signs of the Spirit of God working in and through them, it confirmed the words that they were preaching then, so that people would realize, yes, this must be true. You know, look at these miraculous signs. So that was another reason for these signs. And then we also see in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 1 and then verse 7, it says, now, dear brothers and sisters, regarding your question about the special abilities the Spirit gives us, I don't want you to misunderstand this. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. So there again is the purpose of these miraculous signs. It's for the body of Christ to function with one another, and so that we can help each other. So today specifically, one of these signs that Jesus made reference to when he said these signs will follow those that believe, these miraculous signs, he spoke about speaking with new languages. And so we're going to look at the detail of that again biblically as the experience that happened with those that were filled or baptized with the Holy Spirit. And again, we'll look at it, what the Bible has to say about that. You're in Acts 2 already, should still be there. And so we're going to first of all look at chapter 2 and verse 4, where it says, and everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. Now last week I was teasing just a little bit about, you know, there's some meetings where you want to make sure that you're present. And here it was that everyone that was present was baptized or filled with the Holy Spirit. But here it says that because as a result of them being present, they were filled with the Spirit. And also And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking. So everyone that was present also began speaking with other languages. And it says, as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. So this was something that was definitely different as a result of the outpouring of the Spirit on the day of Pentecost, is that the Holy Spirit was now giving them an ability to speak with other languages. Now this is what those who came and heard. Remember, in verse 5, it spoke about those that were drawn to this work of God as a result of this sign. In verse 11, it says, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, and we all hear these people speaking in our own languages about the wonderful things that God has done. So this is what they were hearing. They were hearing these words describing the wonderful things that God had done. Okay, so now that was the experience on the day of Pentecost. Now I want to show you the experience of when Peter goes and ministers to the Gentiles. Now remember, on the day of Pentecost, Peter then, after this experience and this whole crowd is drawn together, he begins to share with them about Jesus, about having crucified Jesus, how Jesus went to the cross, how he died, was buried, raised on the third day, and now ascended to the Father. And that this gift was for them, that they should repent, be baptized, and this gift would come upon them as well. And that it was for them, it was for the Gentiles. And so now here Peter has the opportunity to go to the Gentiles. He's still struggling with this. They had such a struggle about this, you know, because of their Judaism, that God was here for them. They were a special called out people, which they were, but they had such issue with, now this is for all people, for the Gentiles as well. And you remember in Acts chapter 10, the first part, have you turned there yet? In Acts chapter 10, there we'll go there, where the first part of that is where God gives Peter a revelation about anything that he has cleansed, don't call unclean. He gave him the vision about the unclean animals dropping down on a sheet. It says, Peter, kill and eat. No, I've never eaten anything unclean. Don't call what I've cleansed unclean. And so when those representatives from Cornelius' house came and Peter goes to Cornelius' house, he begins speaking there and he gets this revelation. Oh, this is what God meant by that vision that I had, is he has cleansed the Gentiles, those that were considered unclean. We who consider them unclean, don't call them unclean anymore. He has cleansed them. And it has happened through, again, the shed blood of Jesus Christ. But I'm going to start with verse 39. I'd love to start farther back than that, but just for time purposes, he's speaking. Well, I will start at verse 38. And you know that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Then Jesus went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we apostles are witnesses of all he did throughout Judea and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a cross, but God raised him to life on the third day. Then God allowed him to appear, not to the general public, but to us whom God had chosen in advance to be his witnesses. We were those who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he ordered us to preach everywhere and to testify that Jesus is the one appointed by God to be the judge of all, the living and the dead. He is the one whom the prophets testify about, saying that everyone who believes in him will have their sins forgiven through his name. So here's Peter. He's preaching this message. He's preaching to them. And he says to them that, you know, those who, oops, I got ahead of myself here. It says that the Holy Spirit, I got to read a little more ahead of myself. Verse 44, even as Peter was saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who were listening to the message. The Jewish believers who came with Peter were amazed that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles too. For they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Then Peter asked, can anyone object to their being baptized now that they have received the Holy Spirit just as we did? So he gave orders for them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Afterward, Cornelius asked him to stay with them for several days. So here again, Peter, as he's declaring these things, it says that the Holy Spirit fell on all who were listening. You know, last week I was teasing you a little bit about being present. The Holy Spirit filled all who were present. And today it's all who were listening. So you realize you can be present without listening? So be listening as well as being present. Here it says the Holy Spirit fell on all who were listening. And it says that they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Here was a sign that these guys had received the Holy Spirit. Peter and the Jewish believers that were with him are going, wow, look at this. It happened to them just like it happened to us on the day of Pentecost. They're all speaking with other tongues and praising God. And then it says that they were baptized in water. Peter had them go ahead and be baptized. Now, Peter goes back to Jerusalem and he is taken to task in Jerusalem for having gone to the Gentiles. Here's some Jewish people that are objecting the fact that he'd gone to the Gentiles. You even went in their house and ate with them. You know, and that's something that was forbidden for them. But as he's being taken to task for having gone to the Gentiles and even having eaten with them in chapter 11 and verse 15 through 17, it says this, "As I began to speak," Peter continued, "the Holy Spirit fell on them, on us, at the Lord's words, when you will be baptized with. And since God gave these Gentiles the same gift he gave us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to stand in God's way?" So in other words, here's the work of God that's happening, and we could tell what was happening because that gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out on them just like it was on the day of Pentecost, just like it was for us. And they began speaking with other tongues and praising God just as we did. Just as we were speaking of the mighty deeds of God, so were they. And so that was the experience of Peter with the Gentiles and his explanation to the Jewish people about what was happening there. Okay, then we're going to move on to Acts chapter 19. We're going to see another experience of those who were believers but hadn't even heard about the Holy Spirit. And I've described this before as this was much more like my experience, my personal experience. I mean, I'd heard of the Holy Spirit. I knew there was a Holy Spirit, but what he was for, what was his purpose, that I just really hadn't been aware of. And so in Acts chapter 19 and verses 1 through 6, we see a similar experience. While Apollos was in Corinth, Paul traveled through the interior regions until he reached Ephesus. On the coast, where he found several believers, he asked them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" He asked them, "No," they replied, "we haven't even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." "Then what baptism did you experience?" he asked. And they replied, "The baptism of John." Paul said, "John's baptism called for repentance from sin. But John himself told the people to believe in the one who would come later," meaning Jesus. "As soon as they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then when Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke in other tongues and prophesied." There were about 12 men in all. So again, we see a very similar experience. We see that when they received the Holy Spirit, he asked them if they had received the Holy Spirit when they believed, and they said, "We didn't know." So this was something that we can see biblically. It's not just an automatic thing just because a person becomes a believer that they receive this fullness of the Holy Spirit. These guys were believers. Paul refers to them as believers. But they were not yet filled with the Holy Spirit because they just hadn't had that awareness to experience or to embrace that experience. And so it says that Paul laid hands on them. And when he did, it says that the Holy Spirit came upon them and they spoke in other tongues. And the experience they had, in addition to speaking with other tongues, is they also prophesied. So here we see the immediate action of the Spirit of God, the changes, the manifestations, the result of the Holy Spirit filling them was they spoke with other tongues and they prophesied. So three instances we see already. The day of Pentecost, Peter and Cornelius' household, and Paul with the Ephesus believers, that when they received the Holy Spirit, they also experienced the speaking with other languages. And we'll get into more of why, what's it all about. But turn back with me to Acts chapter 8. And the reason I've left this one at the back of the stack here of scriptures regarding being filled with the Holy Spirit and the immediate results or manifestations of the Spirit's filling, baptism, was that these guys experienced it. Again, it's after they're already believers. Philip goes to Samaria and is having a preaching revival there. The people are responding, it says. They're believing. They're being baptized. But there's something more that they have not yet received. And starting with verse 14, it says, "When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that the people of Samaria had accepted God's message, they sent Peter and John there. As soon as they arrived, they prayed for these new believers to receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them, for they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John laid their hands on these believers, and they received the Holy Spirit. So again, what we see experiencing here is they were believers, they'd been baptized, but they'd not yet received this filling or this baptism of the Holy Spirit. And Peter and John see this is a vital thing. I mean, Jesus told us to wait in Jerusalem until we receive this power from God, this power so that we could be his witnesses. And so also, we want these guys to have that same power so they can be witnesses as well. It's such a vital part of the experience of the relationship with the Lord and the journey that we have, our spiritual journey with him. Now, it does not say there that when they laid their hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit, it doesn't say that they began to speak with other tongues, but something must have been visible that was happening there, because it says in the next verse, in verse 18, when Simon saw that the Spirit was given, when the apostles laid their hands on the people, he offered them money to buy this power. Okay, so Simon saw there's a difference here between them not having been filled with the Holy Spirit and them being filled with the Holy Spirit. And he sees, this is an awesome thing. I want to buy this power. Well, he got rebuked real quick by Peter because his heart was wrong in doing that. But so again, we see that they had accepted God's message, and Peter and John went to pray for them to receive the Holy Spirit. It wasn't something that was just automatic. And Simon could see there was an immediate something happening that, and I would say that we could conclude or deduce by all the other experiences that we just saw scripturally that very, very likely they were speaking with other tongues and or prophesying as a result of this gift of the Holy Spirit being poured out on them. So in each one of these instances that I've just described, we see immediate changes as a result of the followers of Jesus being filled or baptized with the Holy Spirit. And just to go back to share with you some of my own experience that I began to share with you last week as this pastor was sharing on being baptized, being filled with the Holy Spirit, and I'm sitting there in that second row on that side just saying, if this man gives an altar call or if this man calls up to receive this, I've got to go. And when he did, I did, Melanie did, a bunch of others did, and we were invited to a room back in the educational part of the wing of the church and to have hands laid on us and to receive this baptism of the Holy Spirit. But here's some things that I saw regarding and that I've learned to understand about filling of the Holy Spirit is that, first of all, it's when the Spirit of God was poured out and they began to speak with other tongues, it was as the Spirit gave the ability. So it's not something that people work up or people learn how to do. It's as the Spirit gives them the ability. And if you have the Spirit, if you've been filled with the Spirit, guess what? You have the ability. It's not because of you. It's because the Spirit of God that gives the ability is inside of you, filling you, enabling you, and for its purposes. And we'll see the purposes. I'll get into that. But so there's kind of a level of trust that comes as a result of that, that it's not something that I have, it's something that the Spirit of God enables me to do as he gives me the ability. And this, there's also a balance in this of speaking with other languages is that God offers it up, but he never forces himself on anyone. There is the offering up, but then there is the us accepting it. That's the same way it is with salvation. All people of this world could be saved, but God forces no one to be saved. He forces no one to embrace Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior. He offers it, but he never forces it. And so it is with this filling of the Holy Spirit and with speaking with other languages. He offers it. It is for you, but he never forces it. So there is this balance of this responding to God's offer. That's something else that I was able to see in this. And then there is this yielding part. Remember how in James chapter 3 it speaks about the tongue, the most evil, vile member of your body? Why is that? This little thing can get you into so much trouble. It talks about setting on fire. know, it's like a spark, sets the whole forest on fire. That's what your tongue can do. It sets the course of your life. If you can train that tongue, bridle that tongue, it's like a rudder on a ship, it's like the bridle on the horse's mouth, but no man can tame the tongue is what the scripture says. But when we yield it to the Spirit of God, guess what? God is saying, I can help you with that. Yield that unruly member to me. One of the first things he offers up in us being filled with the Holy Spirit and is an ability to yield it to God for its purposes, its better purposes. We'll see what those purposes are. So here we are. We're at the invitation of the pastor. I had gone back to that prayer room and hands were laid on me and I received the filling of the Holy Spirit and I began to speak in other tongues or other languages. And my first thought was, man, does this ever sound silly? And there's a, you know, first of all, it didn't sound like another language. It sounded like a bee buzzing around. And there's a gentleman next to me. He'd also had hands laid on him, and he was speaking, and he starts laughing and laughing. You know how the scripture speaks about, you know, the kingdom of God is not in eating and drinking, but in love and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. And, you know, I thought, well, maybe this guy's experiencing the joy of the Holy Spirit, but I think really he was just laughing at me because I sounded so silly. But you know what? I didn't care. Remember, each week I've been talking about when Paul says to the Ephesians, be not drunk with wine, for that leads to destruction. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I keep talking about, and one of these days I'll get into the details of it, but I keep talking about, you know what, how is he making a comparison of being drunk with being filled with the Spirit instead? I'll just give you a little clue. People who are drunk, do they care whether they look foolish or not? They don't care. Who cares? You know, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Are you going to care whether the people think you're foolish or not? Who cares? I'm having this experience with God, and it is delightful. And I'm experiencing the joy of the kingdom of God, the joy in the Holy Spirit. And I didn't care if someone was laughing at me. In fact, we both started laughing back and forth. We were just having a great time. But that was just that experience that I was having. And to my wife's dear chagrin, she was crying. She's just having a fearful time of it. You know, I don't know what's going on, and I'm seeing my husband over there laughing away, and it just took some further instruction, and she was right there with us too. So, but you know, and I mentioned about how the simplicity of that initial speaking with other tongues, it didn't sound like another language. But as I continued to pursue after that gift that God had given and the ability of the Holy Spirit to do it, it continued to develop. And so it's something that is a true gift of God. Now, we need to get into why. Why new languages or why tongues? And first of all, we already stated from 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 1 and then verse 7, the purpose of all spiritual gifts is so that spiritual gifts or all special abilities, spiritual gifts are given so that we can help each other. And that's one of the initial purposes of speaking with other tongues or different languages. And here's something we got to grab hold of for us to understand the scriptures. You know, the Bible talks about rightly dividing the word of God. When it comes to other languages, this is something that has to be rightly divided. Otherwise, you'll go into the scriptures and you'll go, I don't get this. It looks like it's contradictory. But we need to realize that there are two kinds of tongues as seen in 1 Corinthians 14. And we'll go there. I'll encourage you to turn there. But those two kinds of tongues are, first of all, God speaking to people, and secondly, people speaking to God. Two very distinct, different things, both speaking with other tongues. And we'll get the definition of them and what their purpose is as we go through 1 Corinthians 14. Now realize that Paul's letter to the Corinthians, he's having to do a lot of instruction, a lot of correcting for the Corinthians. We could go back and visit, you know, like 1 Corinthians 10 and 11, where he's talking about them coming together for communion, they have what was called love feasts, and they would start drinking wine, and some would get drunk, and they wouldn't wait for the others, and he, you know, he says, you guys are, yeah, messed up. And so he talks about partaking in a manner worthy of the Lord's Supper, the bread and the cup and Jesus' body and his blood. And so he's doing a lot of corrective work. And here he has to give some definition or to bring some order back into their services that were getting very chaotic, especially when it was coming to the reality of other languages being spoken as they gathered together. So we can see it was an experience that they were having, but it just needed to be brought in order, and there needed to be some definition so people would understand the difference in the two kinds of God speaking to people and people speaking to God. So first of all, we'll look at God speaking to people and it being a public gift. And we'll note that from chapter 14 and verses 21 and 22. This is actually a quote from the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 28 and verses 11 and 12. But it says, it is written in the scripture, I will speak to my own people. Now this is God speaking. I will speak to my own people through strange languages and through lips of foreigners. But even then, they will not listen to me, says the Lord. So you see that speaking in tongues is a sign not for believers but for unbelievers. Prophecy, however, is for the benefit of believers, not unbelievers. So first of all, we see there that God says through strange languages, I will speak to my people. And he's making specific reference to speaking in tongues. God says, I will speak to my people, and that it's a sign for believers, or excuse me, a sign for unbelievers. And then back in verses 3 through 5, it also makes reference to this God speaking to other people and the necessity for interpretation. One who prophesies strengthens others, encourages them, and comforts them. A person who speaks in tongues is strengthened personally, but one who speaks a word of prophecy strengthens the entire church. I wish you could all speak in tongues, but even more, I wish you could all prophesy. For prophecy is greater than speaking in tongues unless someone interprets what you are saying so that the whole church will be strengthened. Now here again, we see tongues and prophecy being compared, and it says that tongues with interpretation is like prophecy. So it's the equivalent of prophecy, tongues with interpretation. And this, again, is God speaking to people. Now, prophecy is defined there as strengthening, encouraging, and comforting others. We don't have the time today, but I'd love to share with you some of the experiences that I had that confirmed to me the call of God on my life to be a pastor. One of those confirmations was through tongues and interpretation from someone who didn't know who I was at all, other than I had been called to be their guest speaker at a full gospel businessmen's meeting. And they prayed over me. There was tongues interpretation. The interpretation of that tongues was, I've called you to shepherd my sheep. That's one of those things that's tucked back in my file drawer, you know, my file drawer up here. When I start to question the call of God on my life, I go back to that and go, God, you showed me supernaturally how this was you that was doing this. So anyway, but then we also see tongues as people speaking to God. And here's where I want to really challenge you and help you to see that this is what God has gifted or graced you with, this private devotional grace. Is something for you and your expressions of your prayer to God, speaking to God. First of all, I realize I'm just jumping around here in 1 Corinthians 14. There's not the time. If I read through this, that teacher mode would get in me and I'd be just consuming the rest of your day. But so we're going to breathe through it. In verse 2, it speaks about speaking to God by the power of the Spirit. Now I'm going to read this from the Message the Message paraphrase. And because it just really lays it out so precious. When it says, if you praise him in the private language of tongues, God understands you, but no one else does. For you are sharing intimacies just between you and him. So can you see the difference between God speaking to his people through strange languages and unknown tongues versus you are speaking to God? No one else understands, but it's okay. It's between you and him. You are speaking intimacies between you and him.
Wow, what an awesome thing that God has graced us with, to be able to do that, to speak intimacies, how intimate he desires, the expression of God's love for us this morning, how much he loves us, to give us even a way that we can express intimacies to him. Now, there's some other things about that. In verse 4, it speaks about how we are strengthened personally, but it's not helpful for others. So again, tongues without interpretation is intended to be tongues as a prayer to God, where you are speaking intimacies to God, and it's not intended for others. If it's intended for others, God speaking to them, then it requires that it be interpreted. Verse 14, and here's the greatest challenge, I believe, for most people when it comes to, you know, making tongues to be just this weird, out there kind of scary thing that we don't want to have anything to do with. It's because we don't understand it. Our minds cannot wrap around how this works. It's very definitive there when it says that I pray. When I pray, my spirit is praying, but my mind doesn't understand. But you know what? That's okay. Get your mind out of the way sometimes, because your mind is very limited when it comes to spiritual things, and you revert to human reasoning, especially if you have not yet had revelation from God concerning some things, and so you'll revert to human reasoning, and your mind will limit you in your abilities to pray. Notice this, how it says this from the Amplified Translation. It says in that verse 14, for if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit, by the Holy Spirit within me, prays, but my mind is unproductive. It bears no fruit and helps nobody. See the communion that goes on. See the reality of the helper with us, enabling us, where the Holy Spirit, by the Holy Spirit within me, my spirit prays. And then verse 15, it speaks of, what are we going to do with this then? The conclusion is we're going to pray and sing with the Spirit, in other words, in other languages. And I will pray and sing with my understanding. So we'll do both. We're going to pray, but here's where, you know, I realize some people are very eloquent in their prayer. They know the words to say. They put it together in such a structure that the rest of us listen and go, ah, you know, I mean, ah, wow. And it's kind of like, I don't have anything more to pray. You just prayed it all. Yeah. Amen. So be it. That's about all we have to say is so be it. What he said, Lord. You know, and so it's like those of us who are limited with our mind's ability, hey, we can cut loose and have the Holy Spirit's help, both in praying and singing. You know, I love it that when Larissa comes to the end of a song, she doesn't go, amen. That she continues to play and gives us freedom to flow as the Spirit is giving us, and we can just continue on either in English with our understanding or outside of our understanding and by the Spirit and the Holy Spirit connecting with our spirit to do this, and we can you know, and just let it go so that it's beyond what you can come up with it with your own mind. I run short on things that I would like to express to God. My mind is, maybe your mind is a whole lot better than mine. No doubt, but still, you're going to come up short. And so God gives us a way of a grace for our devotional, a private devotional grace of other languages. Verse 17, here's something that happens when we're expressing these other languages. We're giving thanks. It says giving thanks, no doubt. Now, other people aren't going to be edified, and that's okay, because this isn't for other people at this point. This is intimacy between you and God. And here's another thing that, you know, be you drunk in the Spirit, you're going to appreciate this. In verse 23, it says, even so, if unbelievers or people who don't understand these things come into your church meeting and hear everyone speaking in an unknown language, they will think you are crazy. So, you know, this, I mean, this is why you don't just cut loose everyone all at once, you know, I don't have time to get into all the details. Oh, Lord, help me. But, you know, here's where we do bring service, we bring order to the service. And it's not intended to just get chaotic and go crazy with it. But I tell you what, you can go crazy with it between you and God, and it be a private devotional thing. But if unbelievers think you're crazy, who cares?
All right. And then verse 28, you're speaking to God privately. That's what it says. If someone speaks in tongues and no one interprets, let them speak privately to God. That's what it's for at that point. Moving right along. Romans 8, 26 and 27 says the Holy Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father who knows all hearts knows what the Spirit is saying, for the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will. We see that the Holy Spirit helps us to pray according to God's will. Here again, when we come up short with our mental capacities and our reasoning, how ought I to pray for this situation? There's so many times where we don't have enough information to know how to pray. We don't have enough information to know what God's will is. But when we've got the Holy Spirit working together with us, praying together with our spirit, praying according to the will of God, how much more effective our prayers will be. So God has given us this grace, this devotional, private grace for us to be able to connect with His Spirit and even be more effective in our praying because we're praying in line with the will of God. And then Jude, there's only one chapter in Jude, Jude 1, 20 says, but you, beloved, It says, you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. So praying in the Spirit helps to build our faith as well. Now, I will not take the time other than to just make reference of obstacles or objections. You may have heard these things that, you know, the first is my mind doesn't understand. And so we just have to deal with that and realize that, yeah, okay, sometimes the things of God are foolishness to the natural man, but I'm not a natural man. I'm a spiritual man. And God, a spiritual man or a spiritual woman, and God has given me His Holy Spirit, and therefore I am going to yield myself to that which might otherwise seem foolish and that I might not understand. Some may quote you a scripture, hey, the Bible says tongues will cease. Yes, they will, but not till Jesus comes back. Not, you know, that whole passage of scripture there speaks of prophecy, speaks of special knowledge, and when that which is complete comes, that which is in part will be done away. Well, that which is complete hasn't come yet. His name is Jesus. He's coming again. When He comes, or when you go to be with Him, then you will know fully, even as you are fully known. But up until that point, you still know in part, and these gifts are still for now. You might be quoted or quote to me, not all will speak with tongues. That's what it says in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 30. But there what it's speaking of is that God speaking to people and it must be interpreted. Not everyone's going to do that. That's not the devotional gift of the private devotional gift that God has given. And so I'm going to conclude with this verse from 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 39 and 40. So dear brothers and sisters, be eager to prophesy and don't forbid speaking in tongues, but be sure that everything is done properly and in order. Now before I give the amen to this sermon and before we conclude, I am going to bring at this point a conclusion to this message and to this service, meaning this: everyone has the freedom to go. However, if you would desire, Melanie and I would love for the experience to just do a little bit further instruction if the situation with you is, you know, first of all, maybe you weren't here, maybe you weren't present last week when we offered to pray for people to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And if you would like that, we'd be love to have that opportunity today. But if you were here or at some other time you believe that you have received this experience of being filled with the Holy Spirit, but this thing about tongues has just got you confuzzled. You know, it's like, let us have the opportunity to give some further instruction and to lay hands on and to experience with you what God has gifted you. Because the Spirit of God in you, because He's in you, the ability's in you. And we don't want you to, we're kind of like Paul when he says, I wish that you all spoke in tongues. If you don't, we wish that you do. For all the benefits that God has given that gift for. It's not to draw attention to yourself. It's to give you an ability to do something with God by the Spirit that you wouldn't otherwise be able to do. And so for that reason, here's what I want you to listen carefully. We're going to offer up the prayer team like we always do at the end of the service. They will be here to pray for whatever needs. You're welcome to stay and be prayed for by the prayer team. But Melanie and I are going to gather anyone who would choose to over here in this area and just spend some time with some instruction. It's not going to be scary at all. In fact, if you just kind of want to come and watch, you're welcome to. There's nothing to be afraid of over here. It's going to be out, you know, so that we're not going to take you into some dark room. And, you know, and here's also, it's just going to be Melanie and I doing this. This is one of those times where we're going to keep control in the sense that we know what each other would do. I've heard of situations where, you know, someone's trying to help someone speak in other tongues, and one guy's saying, "Hang on, brother, hang on," and another one's going, "Let go, brother, let go." And it's like the person gets confused and like, what is going on here? And it's very frightening, and that's not what we're going to do at all with you. We're just going to be very gentle and no pressure. But why not grasp hold of all that God has for you? And don't let it go. In that sense, don't let it just pass you by. But here's, again, listen very closely. We're going to offer up the prayer team, or we're going to offer up to pray for, to deal, give some instruction and so forth. But the rest of you, feel the freedom to leave. Now, if you're not staying for either of those purposes, you must leave. Okay? Because this is not the time for fellowship in here. Take it out to the entryway. Daryl has permission to push you out if you don't go willingly, unless you're here for one of those purposes. And then he's going to close up the door. What? Yes, if it takes that, you can use that, Daryl. But here's the deal. It's just like, let down your fear guards. Open up your spiritual yielding, and then we'll go from there. So, yes. Yes. Yes, of course you do. No, of course you have to come up here.
This was what you're experiencing here today is what I experienced at 19. I had just turned 19, and this scared me. So I don't know if any of you are feeling that way, but this scared me because it was totally foreign to me. I didn't know anything about it and caused much confusion to me. But in the process of all of this, and it took about a year's time to work through all of it, I understood. And I was able to grab a hold of having my own prayer language. And it revolutionized me as a person because I don't have lots of words. I'm talking right now, but in prayer, I don't have lots of words. So my personal prayer language is actually a wonderful, supernatural thing from God that benefits me when I pray for all of you, because I don't know all your situations. I don't know all the details. I don't need to know all the details. And I like it like that, because I can pray more effectively that way. So if you're sitting here and you're feeling kind of nervous in your tummy, or you feel like it's butterflies, but you know that you want this, but you're unsure of this, I have been there. I know what it's like, and I know how I can help share with you some things to bring you peace, but also to make you, to give you this grace in your prayer language.
Amen. Okay, so we're going to pray, and you can be, yes? Another one of those weeks. I love this, Lord. Yeah.
I actually kind of try to avoid coming up and doing this because it is too easy for me to seek my own glory when you give me a microphone and a spotlight. But God has been doing that little pull on the inside thing kind of through this whole message, and I hope there's someone out there who needs to hear this. When I started coming here a little over, not quite 10 years ago, and Roger would speak on tongues, I got a little bit resentful because I did not speak in tongues. And I knew that I was filled with the Holy Spirit. I knew that I could pray and speak to God. I knew how to listen to him and hear him and have him be an active part in guiding my life. I knew I was filled with the Spirit, but I kept hearing, and this is what I was hearing. It may not have been what Roger was saying, but what I was hearing was, if you don't speak in tongues, you're not filled with the Spirit. And so my hackles went up, and I was like, no, that's not true.
Right.
That's not right.
And I agree.
And we have had we had a lot of discussions at the time, but it was really hard for me, and my pride kind of got in the way. And there was a particular time after I'd been over and speaking with Roger and Melody, and I don't know what it was, but I thought, if this is something that is good for me, and if this is something that is biblical and that can take me further with the Spirit, why should I resent that other people do it and that this is being encouraged? You know, maybe I should ask and seek and see what might happen. And I went home and I put on some instrumental music and I put on my headphones and I laid down on my bed and I started to just pray, God, what is this? God, do you want me to do this? Does this matter? Is this as big a deal as they're talking about? Do I need it? Does everybody need it? And I didn't even realize at first that all of a sudden, as I was saying this stuff out loud, I wasn't speaking in English. And then I realized that and was like, well, what's going on? This is different. This is weird. But then I thought, oh, well, this is it. So I can do this. Like Roger has said, you know, if you're filled with the Spirit, you have the ability. It's just, are you going to tap into that? Are you going to yield to that? And it was really important for me to yield my pride and to say, I know that I'm filled with the Spirit, and I guess maybe God wants me to try this, so I will. But if there's anybody out there who has that sort of almost resentment of, I know I'm filled with the Spirit. Why are you saying this, that I should be talking in tongues? I would really, really encourage you to question of the Lord, is this a pride thing? Do I need to step away from myself and give you this chance to do something greater in me, God? Because that's what it was for me. And so if there's somebody out there like that, I would encourage you to really contemplate if that's what God is saying to you.
Thank you, Becca. You know, I love this. This is exactly what the scripture says. It says, well, my brothers and sisters, let's summarize. When you meet together, one will sing, another will teach, another will tell some special revelation God has given. One will speak in tongues, and another will interpret what is said. But everything that is done must strengthen all of you. And that's what we're here for, is the strengthening of the body. And so none of this is to bring glory or attention to any person or any person's idea, but to bring glory to God and to be, in all ways possible, be helpful to you. So I'm going to pray, and that will be our dismissal. And then if you intend to stay, come on up here or over there. And if you do not intend to stay, then be gone. There's too many times that I'm inviting you to leave. But anyway, so let's pray. It is a work of your Holy Spirit, Lord God, for which we are grateful. And I know that many people are walking in that grace of God. And we're just so thankful for that. And there are some that are still hesitant, and we completely understand. And it might be a private thing that they choose to do at home in their private time with you, and that's okay too. But Father, as we continue on in this morning and this time, for those that will be departing, your blessing upon them, Father, as they continue in this day and the things that you have given them to do. And for others that stay, we just pray for a special grace, Lord, and an ability to let down the fear guards and to receive the Holy Spirit in a new and a fresh way. Thank you for this, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So.